Today, my dear faithful, is the second Sunday after the Epiphany. Now, the epistle is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 12. Brethren, we have different gifts, according to the grace that is given us, either prophecy to be used according to the rule of faith, or ministry in ministering, or he that teacheth in doctrine, he that exhorteth in exhorting, he that giveth with simplicity, he that ruleth with carefulness, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, hating that which is evil, cleaving to that which is good, loving one another with a charity of brotherhood, with honor preventing one another, in carefulness not slothful, in spirit fervent, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, instant in prayer, communicating to the necessities of the saints, pursuing hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. Being of one mind, one towards another, not minding high things, but consenting to the humble. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 2. At that time, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited, and his disciples, to the marriage. And the wine failing, the mother of Jesus saith to him, They have no wine. And Jesus saith to her, Woman, what is it to me and to thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother saith to the waiters, Whatsoever he shall say to you, do ye. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 measures apiece. Jesus saith to them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And Jesus saith to them, Draw out now, and carry to the chief steward of the feast. And they carried it. And when the chief steward had tasted the water made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the waiters knew who had drawn the water, the chief steward calleth a bridegroom, and saith to him, Every man at first setteth forth good wine, and when men have drunk freely, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. There was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited, and his disciples, to the marriage. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, this time of year, the time after the Epiphany, is kept by Holy Mother the Church to help us really consider deeply the profound effect that the family plays in the world. Last Sunday, we had the Feast of the Holy Family, and this week, very closely related, we have our Lord's first public miracle taking place at a wedding feast. Now, in our own day, more than ever, this theme should be very important to each of us, as the very idea of family life is so under attack. But of course, the importance of family did not start in our own time. Rather, it is one of the most fundamental and foundational truths. Philosophically speaking, you can't study ethics or morals, you can't study society, nor how we are to act in our daily lives, until you learn that the very foundation and basis of all society is the family. One man, one woman, and their offspring goes all the way back to Adam and Eve as the beginning of society. But this is not just a philosophical or moral truth. It is also a matter of first importance in law. When God gave to man a perfect law that was to be his rule for all time, he gave him the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are God's directives on how he wants us to live our lives. And immediately after the first 3 commandments, the 3 which refer to our relationship with God, The very first directive after those three is honor thy father and thy mother. If we want to know how God wants us to act and the world around us, we know the very first thing he wants is that we honor our parents and keep sanctified the family bonds which he has formed. In philosophy then, as well as in law, and now also in sacred scripture, family holds the primary importance. In sacred scripture, the Old Testament begins with the creation of earth and the first family. The New Testament also begins with St. Matthew's genealogy of our Lord's family. And today, as we read the account of the wedding feast of Cana, we see our Lord working his first public miracle. What facts surround this event? He was asked to do so by his mother, and she implored this favor so that embarrassments and shame might be removed from a young couple who were just beginning their own family life. Thus, we see how important family is then to God and the way he created this world. All this to remind us to stand strong against the multitude of attacks that threaten the family today. He also gave us one great blow on January 24th in 2022 against these attacks against the family. That day, as you may recall, was the feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist was the only saint who was honored on the universal calendar as being born in the state of grace. He had been purified of original sin in his mother's womb at the sound of our Blessed Mother's voice. He is therefore the patron of all unborn, for it is in him that we have proof from sacred scripture that life indeed does start in the womb. And so it was on the feast of his that the forces of evil who attack family life were given a great setback. But that year of 2022, it was this feast of St. John's Nativity coincided with and was outshined by the even more glorious feast of our Lord's most sacred heart. It was the feast of the Sacred Heart, the symbol of God's love and mercy, falling on the anniversary of St. John's birth, the patron of the unborn, that America had removed from her the scourge of Roe versus Wade. It is not that, sadly, abortion was made illegal that day. But, in fact, it could never be legal, strictly speaking. But it was on that day that a great many justification and protections for the slaughter of the innocent were struck down by our Supreme Court. And so it was a day of great rejoicing and thanksgiving to God, especially for the impact it had on family life. Now, what has been truly diabolical and something that only hell itself could inspire is the amount of opposition that came from this truly glorious event. The amount of money and resources that the famous and the wealthy put at the disposal of so-called abortion rights is staggering. The language and phrases that have been used by those who would seek to maintain the murder of children through abortion is the language of hell itself. People holding signs reading, "Parasites don't have rights," have so far degraded themselves that they refer to infants, like St. John the Baptist was in the womb, safe and secure in their mother's womb, as parasites. What almost incomprehensibly dreadful thing to say. Yet they say it anyway, because must be the devil himself inspires it. And finally, the unending work and efforts by politicians, business leaders, and influencers throughout the world in defense of this defenseless slaughter has proceeded with such fervor. And so it is time for us to ask ourselves a few questions. Do I teach my children and my dependents the great value of family life. Not family life on my terms or family life as I think it should be planned or what is convenient for me, but family as God instituted it. Do I hold to the truth that family life is a man and woman so completely in love with one another that their supreme goal in life is to see the other in heaven for all eternity, and in union with that ideal, to bring along as many souls that God sends them, sanctifying them as well? Do I realize how important the family is to God? Do I do all that I can to defend family values? When I see the forces of evil going to any means to destroy families, whether it be through abortion or so many sins and vices, do I make sure I am doing my part to defend family life? If I do not have a family of my own, am I praying and sacrificing for our growing Catholic families in our chapels? Am I putting any resources behind helping struggling families? One most valuable resource we can all spend is our time. And this Friday at 7 p.m. is an excellent opportunity. We might not have the money of the billionaires who promote abortion, but we most likely have enough finances to fill the car with enough gas to make it here at the chapel for a few rosaries. We might not have great amounts of time in our busy lives, but when we see politicians lobbying for hours, day after day, months on end, to get destructive legislation passed, can we not spend the hour lobbying before heaven by a prayer said here in the presence of the tabernacle? We might not have the facility of language that can form cunning arguments like so many who entrap poor young women into killing their children, but we can certainly use the inspired words of God found in the Our Father and Hail Mary to make our case in heaven for family and for the unborn. And so, my dear faithful, I ask you, realizing the importance of the family, of bringing new souls into the world, to join us this Friday in praying for the very core of the family, the unborn children. And judging from the Ten Commandments, sacred scripture, in the providential events of June 24th, 2022, our Lord and St. John the Baptist United Day, you can be sure that any effort you put into preserving good family life will be highly blessed by God, who has shown again and again such concern for family life. Maybe it is because you make the sacrifice to be here this Friday that somewhere in the world there is a mother who is trying to figure out what to do. And because you made this sacrifice, you earned this merit, God touches that heart with grace, and she saves the life of her little one, just one more soul to live this life and to reach for heaven itself. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.